Good morning, I'm Anthony Morneau. It is 7:45. Environmentalists say the Trump administration's plan to go ahead with an enhanced wall along the U.S.-Mexico border here in southern New Mexico is unnecessary and will harm the region's wildlife. Roz Brown reports.
The Center for Biological Diversity sued the administration over the wall last year, and the group's senior attorney, Brian Segay, says they are considering further legal action over the new waiver. Segay says the current vehicle barrier at that location is serving its purpose.
It stops cars and trucks from coming over the border, but a deer or a mountain lion or a jaguar can still pass. And moving from a vehicle barrier to a border wall or a border fence, it's essentially new border wall.
The Trump administration says the area's existing vehicle barriers need to be replaced with 20 miles of bollard wall because the El Paso sector is an area of high illegal entry. I'm Roz Brown.
Texas is fighting a judge's final order in a roughly seven-year-old class action lawsuit that mandates sweeping changes to the state's foster care system. Becky Fogle reports.
In the decision U.S. District Judge Janice Graham Jack issued at the end of last week, she wrote, quote, 2 years and one legislative session later, the foster care system of Texas remains broken. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton immediately appealed the final order, and a federal appeals court granted a temporary stay. Child advocates in the state say this isn't a surprising move.
But we do wish the state would go ahead and fully cooperate with the court order.
That's Lee Nichols with the child welfare group Tex Protects. He says foster children can't keep waiting on litigation to play out.
Childhoods are short, so any delay in fixing the system greatly concerns us.
Kate Murphy is with the advocacy group Texans Care for Children. She says just because Judge Jack's order is temporarily on hold doesn't mean Texas can't keep working to improve foster care.
So my hope as an advocate is that seeing what has come down in this order and what the state is going to be expected to do if they lose the appeal, the state will start taking some steps and proactively be working toward implementing or including the policies that are really good for kids in the order into the work they're already doing.
Some of the changes Jack ordered include better distributed foster homes and treatment center beds throughout the state and moving sexually aggressive foster kids into single child placements. In Austin, I'm Becky Fogle.
Almost 50 women in Texas have filed to run for Congress this year. Organizations who recruit women to run for public office say that number could lead to historic election results in November. As Ashley Lopez reports, this is part of a nationwide wave of women seeking public office, many for the first time.
Patsy Woods Martin works at Annie's List. It's a group here in Texas that reaches out to women and helps them launch a political campaign. She says recruiting women to run for public office takes some work. In fact, it's why Annie's List exists.
Well, what research shows is that women are not likely to self-nominate, right, just for running for office or are in many cases leadership positions.
Martin says usually it helps if someone turns to them and says, hey, you should run for office. And that's what her group does. And this year, Martin says their work got much easier.
We've seen an incredible surge in interest over the course of this last year. No one was prepared for what happened almost a year ago with the women's marches around the state, particularly in Austin. And we were able to turn that energy into getting more women interested in running for office.
She says in 2016, about 76 women ran for seats in the Texas legislature. This year, that number jumped to about 110. Martin says these women are running for a lot of reasons, but she says mostly they feel things have changed after Donald Trump was elected.
What I am understanding is that women look up and they say, if a guy like Donald Trump, who has no experience and is not traditional, to be kind, right, can get himself elected president of the United States, surely I can get myself elected to the state house.
And Brian Leswing with Emily's List, which recruits women to run nationally, says he sees the same thing happening nationwide.
it's an historic moment for both Emway's list and for, frankly, women across the country.
Les Wing says between 2015 and 2016, about 920 women approached them about running for office.
However, since Election Day 2016, more than 26,000 women have approached Emway's list about running for office, and that number is close to 1,000 in Texas.
And Patsy Woods-Martin with Annie's List says even if women face tough odds in any of the seats they're currently vying for here in Texas, she hopes they treat this year as a learning experience so they can run again in the future. Ashley Lopez, KUT News.